your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
And here we are on this Labor Day. Welcome to Monday afternoon. I hope you're dry. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch coming to you from the Allstate Skyline Studio. We've got a short show today. The White Sox are playing on the south side today, so they have a 12:35 pregame. So for just a half an hour of the Biz Lunch today. It's Monday, so that means we're joined by the folks from Chicago Inno. Catherine Davis is here in studio even on her holiday day off. Thank you very much for coming in.
Absolutely, Steve.
And Jim Dahlke just doesn't care as much.
Steve, come on. It's not like that.
Is it because you live so far away, Jim, or is it because you're worried about the Kennedy being shut down? What is it exactly that kept you at home today?
Oh, you know, a chance to spend a Monday at home with the wife. Can't pass that up.
I do. You guys know I appreciate both of you joining me today because it is a holiday. You guys aren't working, and I'm grateful to that. So thanks to both of you for that. Let's start with transportation. I think this story was out maybe last week, late last week. The Tribune had it, but the mayor officially announced today with the press release that Ray LaHood is going to run this new sort of transportation commission to look at the future of transportation in Chicago. Jim, I'll start with you. This seems to me, we talk a lot about whether the city's ready for driverless cars, ride-sharing programs, and things like that. This looks like a step toward putting that all under one umbrella.
Definitely. This is a really interesting announcement, especially because it addressed specifically autonomous cars. And Steve, as we've kind of talked about with you a lot over the last few years, Chicago hasn't done or said very much at all about where its role is in the future of autonomous cars. So on one hand, it's very interesting to see that the city is kind of starting to lay a groundwork for what the city could look like with an autonomous car future. So it's interesting for that on one end, and it's curious to see that they're including a lot of different transportation options sort of within this task force, right? It's not just what Chicago might look like with driverless cars, but also the emergence of electric scooters, and then, you know, sort of the ongoing battle with Uber and Lyft, right? So we're kind of really seeing how all these new tech advances could be playing out in Chicago. You know, a lot of people in Chicago, especially people who are really interested in electric scooters, autonomous cars, have been kind of frustrated with the city's rollout of some of this stuff. I mean, some folks who are in the innovation community here in Chicago want to see the city do more to embrace this technology. Chicago certainly is taking a wait and see approach, which I think in the long run could play dividends and actually be a positive thing.
You mean by going slowly and letting other cities like Milwaukee make mistakes with scooters that Chicago will be better off in the long run? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. And I think Chicago, just based on the size of it, too, it's really difficult, right? I think Chicago is a trickier city to do electric scooters than a city like Milwaukee, than some of these other smaller cities where electric scooters tend to work out sort of a little easier. Chicago, just based on the sprawl of it, the size of it, it's just harder to implement this stuff. So, yes, people who are eager for some of this new technology, some of these new transportation options, are a little frustrated that the city's taking a long time. But what we're doing instead is kind of being more thoughtful about it. And I think in the long run, that'll pay off.
Catherine, what do you make of this commission? I mean, is this too little, too late? Is it right on time? What do you think?
You know, Steve, I think it's right on time for electric scooters specifically, because, you know, those haven't officially launched here in Chicago yet. You know, companies like Bird and Lime, they've both kind of set up like little demo days or, you know, weekends where they're trying to introduce Chicagoans to this new method of transportation.
Right. They give them to the 23-year-olds who've been drinking all day at the festivals.
Yeah, exactly. A great way to get people interested.
Right.
But, you know, I think that going forward, these electric scooter companies want to work with Chicago differently than they have with other cities. Instead of just kind of showing up and asking for forgiveness, they really want to work with city government, see how they can roll this out in the best way, and, you know, be on the same page.
Jim, and LaHood certainly has his bona fides when it comes to transportation, so there's a big plus there.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, the former Secretary of the U.S. Department of Transportation under Barack Obama. So, yeah, a big name, certainly a weight to this and kind of show that the city is certainly serious about taking a look at some
All right, so we've talked about scooters already today, and it's a nice segue to Bird because, as we mentioned, they had trouble in Milwaukee. Milwaukee was, I think at one point, the sheriff was lassoing wayward scooters around the city streets. and so now Bird is trying to come to grips with that, right? Trying to figure out a way to get along better with governments before they move in?
Yeah, so they've launched a new government tech platform to kind of address these concerns. And so, you know, this will be a way for them to, for cities to be on the same page with Bird, as far as, you know, getting data dashboards to look at how they're being used throughout the city. People will be able to create reports and, you know, complain about if the scooters are being used irresponsibly or being ridden on sidewalks or however. But there's kind of a way to, you know, partner with Milwaukee and, regulate them.
And Jim, I had I think it was a marketing director for Lime on, or I don't remember the exact title of the man, but I mentioned to him, he didn't quite bite, but Lime moves in very differently than Bird, right? Lime likes to come in with the blessing of the host government. Bird just sort of drops the scooters on the street and sees what happens.
So I think we've seen Lime actually do a little bit of that as
well. Really? Okay.
I don't know that either of I think they kind of have taken a different approach city by city. So some cities, they have played ball a little nicer than in other cities. Chicago, I think, is one where both companies are taking a very sort of cautious approach and want to work with these cities very carefully. Kind of what's interesting about this Bird platform that they want to help kind of launch with cities, to me, it's all about data. How can cities have access to this Bird data, this Lime data, the scooter company data that they want to have? So to me, one thing that these companies can do to play nice with cities like Chicago, like Milwaukee, is share the data. Where are the scooters? How are they being used? How are they being taken care of for? Where are they being parked? Chicago wants to know that. And so I think one way that companies like Bird and Lime can play nice is to share some of that data.
All right, so there's that. Here we are on Labor Day. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch, and thanks very much for that. Maybe you don't listen typically because you're working during the work week, but we're here Monday through Friday from noon to 1 with guests like Catherine Davis and Jim Dahlke here from Chicago Inno. Catherine, everything's closed downtown today. My normal coffee shop where I go to buy my cup wasn't available. I had to walk almost a block, and it was difficult in this humidity. You wrote about this new startup. Is it called Javaya?
Yep, Javaya.
Where you can get coffee delivered. Now, that's a little different than convenience store coffee, right? This is sort of gourmet stuff.
Yeah, so Javaya is a new Chicago startup here that they've created an online marketplace where you can be matched with and buy craft coffee and get it delivered to you like as fresh as possible. So when you get to their website, you can take a quiz on, you know, what kinds of things you like in your coffee. So like fruity and floral or neutral and balanced.
Okay, you wrote this story. When I read fruity and floral, I didn't know there was such a thing when it comes to coffee.
Yeah, and apparently you can also have notes of citrus in your coffee as well, which I didn't know before. But I'm going to be more fancy about my coffee after writing this story.
I don't imagine these come in K-cups.
No, not in K-cups. Once you take the quiz, a Javaya will match you with like the perfect coffee for you, and then roast and ship the coffee that day for free, and ship it to you so that by the time you get it, it's at its peak flavor.
So it sounds to me like a coffee of the month club, but it's not really that, right? This is, I would imagine.
Right. So it's not a subscription. You know, this isn't something you pay for every month and keep getting routinely. You do pay by the order. But it's interesting that there's kind of a market for this because, you know, talking to the founders and they're like, well, you know, a lot of the coffee you buy at the grocery store is stale. It could be there for weeks or months,
yeah,
you know,
I never and thought of that.
This
really.
Is Javaya's a concept for someone who really cares about getting that fresh coffee and from like local coffee.
Well, we've talked
companies.
And it was interesting too. They met here in Chicago and talked about you. I think you wrote about Metropolis. We've had Metropolis on before.
Yeah.
And so it's good for those coffee roasters too, I guess, to find a new outlet. Catherine Davis from Chicago, you know, Jim Dahlke is on a phone line as well. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a self-deodorizing gym bag. I'm not kidding. Right now, look at the traffic hotspots. Here's Joanne Jeanette.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
It's 12:23 here on 720 WGN in the Allstate Skyline Studio on this Labor Day, Monday afternoon. It's Labor Day anyway. We celebrate work on the show. So Catherine Davis and Jim Dahlke from Chicago Inno are giving us a little free labor. Thanks to both of you again for coming by. Okay, so Jim, I'm going to start with you on this one because I just can't imagine Catherine ever needing a self-deodorizing gym bag.
Yeah, you know, you don't think that a self-deodorizing gym bag is something really anybody would need. believe it or not.
I'm usually too hard on some of these guys, so I didn't want to say that. But
you know, it's funny. But what they've done is pretty interesting. So this company is called Sigma Fit, and their product is called the Transforma X. It's a gym bag. Company is based in Egypt, but they've just launched a U.S. headquarters here in Chicago. So they've got a small team here in the States working on a Chicago.
Jim, we're breaking up there. We're breaking up a little bit.
That's close.
Right. So they're set up in Egypt, and one of the co-owners, was it? It marries a woman from Chicago, right? He comes to Chicago. He likes the eco-climate here, and all of a sudden now Chicago's got an expanded business.
Exactly. So, yeah, now they're here in Chicago setting up a team and really trying to get this bag on the market. So it's going to hit Kickstarter in a couple of weeks. So that's when they're going to start to sell this thing. And essentially what the bag is, it's got a portable UV and ozone air filter that removes germs and odor-causing bacteria from your clothes and shoes in as little as 20 minutes. So basically what it's doing here is helping you have a non-smelly gym bag. So pretty neat, right? Having a portable air freshener and in your bag on the way to the gym. So a neat innovation here.
I would imagine a lot of moms of 13-year-old boys will be looking into the Kickstarter campaign here for this.
a lot of hockey moms are going to hit the internet for this, yeah.
But it also has almost a thermos in it, right, where it'll keep food cold or drinks cold?
Yeah, I mean, it's got a kind of the same sort of technology that you see in a lot of coolers, right, to kind of temperature control. So there's another element in this, too, and it's got some charging potential, too, for your electronics. Right. So it's really kind of an all-in-one gym bag here for the 21st century gym goer.
All right, Catherine Davis, what do you think? What are their chances?
I'm just interested in how well it works. I mean, you know, nothing is like my washer machine, right?
Well, hopefully no. but it is interesting that it uses solar power. And you know, one of his arguments was that people would have to wash less so they would save water. There might be a little bit of a reach, but good luck to him. We'll see what happens. While we're talking about sports and athletes, let's move on to Swizzle, S-W-Z-L-E. Which is a new reusable straw company, right? Created by a former Bear?
Yeah, former Chicago Bear Ryan Mundy and Philip Cosgrove, who's the former director of business development at Bucket Feet. They launched Swizzle on Kickstarter, and they're raising $12,500 for a reusable straw. So, you know, straws are a big topic right now.
No can do. Can't have a straw, right.
Getting banned. Airlines are ditching them. And we might be looking at a future where everyone has to carry around their own metal straws.
Tatiana Walk Morris wrote this story for Chicago Inno, and the imagery I got, Jim, was a guy walking into a pool hall with his own pool cue in a case, right? I mean, they sell the cases and they sell these straws that you would apparently carry around.
Hey, if you're going to carry a straw around, you got to have a case, right?
Yes,
you got to have its own cleaning equipment. So, yeah, I mean, another product, right, that sounds a little silly kind of on the surface, but, you know, go to places like Miami, go to places where straws are, like, being banned citywide, or plastic straws, sort of the single use. And something like this doesn't actually seem so silly, right? And especially when you kind of think about the B2B implications of this, you know, when they're trying to sell these things to hotels and to restaurants who kind of need an alternative to these single-use plastic straws, that starts to get really interesting.
The other thing that I had not thought about, Catherine, they talk about the need for people with disabilities to use a straw. They're going to need a straw, and they're hoping maybe that this would be the straw for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's just, you know, some people have conditions where they can only, they need a straw. And so, you know, this could be a really great thing for them, something they can always have with them, depending on, you know, what restaurant, airline, wherever they are, they have what they need.
All right. It's called Swizzle, all caps S-W-Z-L-E, and they've got a Kickstarter campaign going. You wrote a story about Happy Labs, Catherine Davis. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So Happy Labs is the latest Chicago startup to participate in Y Combinator, which is a really selective accelerator program out in Silicon Valley, where, you know, the companies kind of pick up and move their operations to the Valley for 3 months, and then at the end pitch to investors, you know, based on the progress they've made throughout the program.
Is it unusual that a Chicago company would be out at Silicon Valley?
Not entirely. I mean, we've had some other companies go there, like Tavala and ShipBob. But it is very competitive. You know, Happy Lab told me this wasn't the first time they applied. They had applied before and gotten turned down. So it's a big deal for them to get in. But Happy Labs, what they do is they make kind of a management and marketplace platform to help academic and biotech labs get lab supplies for cheaper.
And so the idea is that these guys were in like molecular biology, right? And came up they saw the need and came up with the business.
Exactly.
So where are they now on it?
So, you know, they are fully operating. You can go to their platform if you're a scientist and they can help you get supplies for low costs. But, you know, they're looking to hire up an official chief technology officer because they just landed $120,000 from
the Y Combinator. Right. Mm-hmm. And so before this, they were kind of doing it, word of mouth, trying to get things out. And now they can accelerate that. No pun intended.
Exactly.
All right. Catherine Davis, thanks very much for tuning in. Jim, one last word from you. What do you make of this? You wrote about Tempus in the $1 million that or the money that they've just raised and about how they're doing there. There have been more and more sort of $100 million grants in the past year, haven't there?
Exactly. You're seeing Silicon Valley companies especially raise, $100 million at a time without even thinking about it. You're seeing less of that in Chicago, right? So that was kind of interesting about Tempus' story last week. You know, they raised $110 million. You don't see a lot of $100 million venture capital rounds in Chicago. So pretty cool to see it happen with Tempus.
Good to see that. Jim Dahlke, Catherine Davis, thanks very much for coming by. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.